All right, we're in the third chapter, I think it is, of the book of Hebrews tonight. And I was talking to you about the fact that, let me change my hearing. Okay, I got to get my hearing aids in the right position, otherwise it doesn't sound right. Sounds okay to you, but not to me. Anyway, what I was commenting about before we started the tape up, if you look at the canopy of Christianity in the day in which we live, and you look at the Jews, who were the custodians of the truth in times past, you see that both groups may have made the same mistake. And that mistake is pointed out to us in our Greek New Testament. And of course, if we compare what's said throughout the Old Testament, we know that the Scripture says that therefore by the deeds of the law, what?
No flesh will be justified
where?
In God's sight.
Now, there's lots of people that are justified in their own minds. And they think, like the Jews, when they heard the law, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. But when you look at the law from the standpoint of God's requirement, it's not just trying to do it. That's what everybody, they make a holy stab, so to speak. And no, God demands perfection. If you're going to be justified by law, what did Jesus tell the Jews? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, I don't know anyone with an ego big enough to think that they can be perfect, and especially perfect before God. But when you look at what is being taught in all of the religious systems of the world, no one ever takes the time to ask the question, what did Eve see in that tree? And if we ask the question and we're honest, we see it was a tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What is a knowledge of good and evil? It's man's morality. And no one can get into the presence of God by man's morality. Why? Because we've all sinned. When Adam sinned, we sinned. That's why it's singular. We've all sinned and then put it on ourselves. And we ourselves have all come short of the glory of God. Who is the glory of God? It's Jesus Christ. And that's what the Scripture means when it says, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Well, I'm certainly incapable of perfection in any realm, And you are in the same boat that I am. So if we're going to be accepted of God, we have to be perfect. And we are by God's plan. Because when Jesus Christ came into the world, and this was foreordained, God is an omniscient God. And it's interesting. I attended three different Bible colleges, and they put a lot of emphasis upon the attributes of God in your first year in the particular college. I was going to make a joke, but I can't remember the word. But these institutions of learning, seminaries. Yeah, seminary is very similar to cemetery. Because they're all behavior monitors. And you kids, right out of high school, going to school. Of course, I spent 4 years in the Air Force before I was saved, followed in the Air Force, and then called into the ministry. And so I was older than most of the students. But, you know, they're trying to whip them into shape so that somehow or other, this is the idea. And they used to say this, that someone will look at you, at your life, and want to be like you. Now, you talk about a bunch of, I can't think of a good word for it, so I won't say it. But it's just nonsense. You know, God demands perfection. We can't come close. And at our very best, we're still short of the glory of God. So in the book of Matthew, where we are studying on Sunday morning, Jesus was preaching to Jews under the law. And a Jew under the law, he says, okay, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Now, he wasn't teaching saved people how to live. He was condemning people who thought that they could be perfect by the lives that they lived, and showing exactly what the law demands. It demands perfection. Well, which of us can supply perfection? Yeah. Can you even control your dreams? Yeah. We can't. Can we control our thoughts? Things pop into your mind, you wonder, where in the world did that come from? Yeah. Why? Because we are imperfect beings. And even though we were saved by God's grace through faith, and God in his judicial reckoning looks at us now, this is why God can see us as being perfect. Because he sees us this way. You're dead. And your life is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we also appear with him in glory. So everything that we're doing on a day-to-day basis, if it's not of faith, it's not seen, period. Well, the people that say, well, we're just teaching grace so that sin might abound. And you know what Paul said about that in the third chapter of Romans? The people who say that, their damnation is just. So, is it better to be good than to be bad? Yeah, there are consequences for bad behavior. But our relationship with God is not predicated or based upon our behavior. You know, Christ stood in our stead in life, and he stood in our stead in death, and then he went to the cross of Calvary and shed his blood for your sin and mine. So we are accepted, how? In the Beloved. Okay? So here in Hebrews, let's start again in verse 7 of the third chapter. We've been over this quite a few times before. And, I try to move on. And when it comes time to preach, the Lord won't let me move on. And it's just simply because these principles are so deeply entrenched and embedded in us by the world. You know, don't smoke, don't drink, don't spit, don't chew, don't this, don't that. But does anyone do any of those things? And basically the thing that they say don't do fall within human capability. Yeah. But God demands perfection. Perfection of thought, perfection of life. Yeah. And that's what we are, because the scripture teaches us, and I remember before I start reading, I was one time, you know, I had been saved for a little while, and I was praying, and I was praying like most people pray when they're first saved, that you emulate what other people have done. And at that point in time, forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. Forgive us our sins. And it hit me. That is unbelief. Because Christ made what? One sacrifice for sin. For what period of time? Forever. So say, forgive me of my sins. I died with Christ when Christ died. He said, you're dead. And your life, the one I'm living right now, is hid with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is my life, shall appear, then shall I also appear with him in glory. So the only things that can be remembered by God about believers at the present time is what we do by faith. For by, you know, it says, you're dead. Well, you died with Christ. So your life is hid. So anything in my life that's generated in and of myself counts for nothing. But if I preach the word of God by the power of the Spirit of God, study to show myself approved unto God, you know, grow in the things of the Lord, have the courage of my convictions to preach what the Lord lays upon my heart. Believe me, I can empty this church pretty fast by saying, you know, your life counts for nothing. You say that to people, and they think, well, what are you telling me to do then? The only thing that counts is what you do by faith. And what you do by faith, where's the beginning? You had to die with Christ first. So you're dead. And what about your life? It's hid with Christ in God. So when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then we shall also appear with him in glory. Scripture says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Do you always operate in faith? No. But that is the way we're supposed to operate. So if we believe what God says, all of that behavior monitoring that they did in the schools that I went to, and many of you have met Joanne. You know, she died 3 years ago. But when we got back to Springfield, Missouri, Joanne had made some, and you have to realize, different parts of the country have different things that you do and you don't do. Now, if you come from California, you go to the beach. If you come from Florida, you go to the beach. Or along the coastline of Alabama, you go to the beach. Or even in Biloxi, Mississippi. In the Air Force, went to the beach every day when I got off work at the Air Force. Yeah. So people in certain geographical areas go to the beach. So what do you wear? What's appropriate wear for the beach? Swimsuits. Yeah. Well, my goodness, you can see an awful lot of flesh with these swimsuits. I'm not talking about these micro mini bikinis. I'm talking about, I remember I bought Joanna a bathing suit. It was yellow and it had big brown buttons down the front. Yeah, that was terrific. But, you know, what do you do? Well, you just don't go swimming. You know? And so they've got all of these rules and they vary with geographically. You know? And what do those rules do? It gives the people who are trying to live by them, you know, just like the Jews. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. So, was there any Jew, apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, that ever kept the law? Moses didn't keep it, you know. None of the apostles kept it. None of the prophets kept it, you know. It condemned every single one. John the Baptist didn't keep it. Yeah. The only Jew that ever kept the law is our Lord Jesus Christ. And actually what the churches are teaching, they're teaching people the lie of the devil. Because nobody ever asks the question, what is a knowledge of good and evil? Well, by definition, that's man's morality. And so as many people as are in the world, everybody makes up his own rules for himself. So as many systems as there are in the world, I'm not saying that bad behavior is better than good behavior. No, good behavior is always better. But you can't get to heaven by your behavior. So that's what Jesus was teaching the Jews in the Gospel of Matthew. And as we come into this book of Hebrews, we have to see, okay, we have Jews that are profess faith in Christ. But we have them, they're in a position where they've had the law driven into their heads from the time of their birth, you know, all the way back to the giving of the law when they came out of Egypt and, you know, at Mount Sinai. And let's look back there for just a minute. Let's go back to the, the 16th chapter of Exodus. Okay. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. Okay, we got a murmuring crowd. We're going to die out here. There isn't any food out here. Yeah. It's hot. There's not a lot of shade. Okay? And so they're beginning to look at their circumstances. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill the whole assembly with what? With hunger. Yeah. What in the world? Yeah, we're out of Egypt and we don't have to build buildings for the Egyptians, and we don't have to plant their crops and reap their crops and so forth. But you brought us out here. Who can live here? And from the natural point of view, they had a good argument. You know, temperatures down there get into the 120s, you know, and not a whole lot of water. So then said the Lord in verse 4 unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may do what?
Prove
them. Yeah. How are the just to live? By faith. Faith comes out by hearing the word of God. Whether they will walk in my law or no. You know, God is an omniscient God. He knows what the Jews are going to say before they say it. And so it's not necessary to go and say, well, he didn't tell them about the law until the 19th and 20th chapters. But when they heard it, they said what? All that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So God is doing this for the Jews to show them before they make that oath what kind of a bargain they're making. So he says, and it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at evening, is the way we would say it, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be, when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat. That was for 40 years. And in the morning, bread to eat. That was for 40 years. Didn't have to plant a single grain of wheat. In fact, the wheat that they brought with them out of Egypt, 40 years later, they planted in the land of Israel. Yeah. And then the God stops the raining of the manna daily. Okay. Let's see. And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. You're not manifesting faith. You're griping and complaining. You know. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses said unto Aaron, say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at evening ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp. Now, by the time they'd fly across the Red Sea, they'd be about worn out, and you'd just reach up and grab one out of the air. You know, and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. So God promised he rained bread from heaven. You know, why did he get the name manna? Because in manna, Hebrew in the Hebrew word for manna, it means, what is it? They didn't know what it was. You know, but it was bread from heaven. And then he says, and it came to pass that at evening the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness, there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost, on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, what is it? You know, it's translated, it is manna. But it really is, the word manna means, what is it? And for there was not that it was what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating. Now, do we have to eat every day? Yeah. I mean, we could skip a day or two. But, you know, but God's providing for every day of the week. Going to give twice as much on, you know, on Friday, so that on Saturday, on the Sabbath, they're not together. But let's read a little bit more. Now, we're talking about a people. The Jews aren't any different than the church is in this age. Yeah, Christ was promised in the Old Testament, and we've seen him sacrificed, buried, and risen from the dead, so he came and fulfilled all of that. But the Jewish trust had to be in God's promised Redeemer. And that's what the whole sacrificial system was about. That's what the law was about. The law was designed to condemn the Jews, and the sacrificial system, we're all condemned by our behavior. So the sacrificial system was to portray the one sacrifice for sin forever in Jesus Christ. Now, in Matthew, we're dealing with Jews that haven't seen Christ crucified. In Hebrews, we're dealing with Jews now. We have the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. But how are both to live their life? Same way as we're to live our life. The just shall live how?
By faith.
And the law is what?
No.
It's not of faith. So why do people put so much emphasis? Well, we got to try. Well, all that we do by trying to keep the law is get frustrated. Why? Because we can't keep it. You know? And it's to be kept both mentally and physically. So let's go on. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, "What is it?" And they wist not what it was. And Moses said unto them, "This is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, as much for yourself, according to the number of your persons." So if you're gathering for the whole family, how much can dad eat and mom compared to the children, and so on and so forth. Just gather what you need. And take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And when they did meet it or pass it out with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. See, so you get real greedy, all the additional effort isn't going to give you any more than what God promised in the first place. And so they gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning. Don't try to save it." What's the lesson there? What you get today will tide you over till tomorrow, and there will be fresh matter tomorrow. It's like a believer in the Word of God. You know, we sometimes talk about, you know, there's different ones that have written things quoting Scripture, and they'll call it my daily bread. You know, well, the Word of God is, you know, it's the bread of God. It speaks of providing life, life how? Through the personal work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Does anything in our relationship with God have to do with our personal works? Actually, nothing. What counts is that we believe God. You know, the just shall live by faith, and all of the laws trying to whip us into shape. Yeah, all it does is cause us to deviate from the life that God designed for us. The just are to live by faith. So, you know, let's take a simple matter. I don't like to talk about money. The Lord supplies it. But let's say the Scripture says the tithe is the Lord's. Well, they said, well, that was for the Jews under the law. Well, you want to take as much of the law as you can and bring it over into the church age. Why don't you bring tithing over too? You know? Well, that's why that ended. Well, you can pick and choose all you want. But I guarantee you, 90% with the Lord's blessing goes a lot farther than 100% without. You know? And it's just, and after a while, you don't even think about it. You just write the check, you know, and you find out that all of your needs are met. You know, most of my life, I haven't made very much money, and of course, I had some insurance on Joanna when she died, and had a policy on me. For her sake, so I cashed that in. So all of a sudden, I've got money I never had before. You know. And, you know, does that mean I'm wealthy? No. But I've got more than enough money to bury me, and I'll probably have the family use that
life legacy,
you know. If you don't know about it, there's a company in Portland. It's called Life's Legacy. And if you contact them when a loved one's about ready to die, or you can contact before, then they will, they will come to the hospital or to your home when death occurs and pick up the body, and then they take it and they use it for medical uses and so forth. And then what's left, they cremate and they send the ashes back to you, and it doesn't cost a dime. these funeral homes anymore. Now get more money for cremating someone than they used to get for putting them in a vault in a casket. You know, the whole thing is crazy. You know, one thing I can say about, and I'm not saying they're all this way, but in order to be in the funeral business, you've got to be a chameleon. Whatever, you just blend into whatever circumstance you're in. You know, real legalistic church, you're talking about the good works of the, yeah, you fit right in. If you're in where preaching the grace of God, and it's not by works of righteousness, which we've done, but it's according to God's mercy that he saves, they fit right in. You know, they will be whatever you want them to be. Why do they do it? Because they want to make money. You know? And really, you can't tell by talking to them whether they're saved or lost, because they'll agree with you about everything. Yeah, it's crazy. So let's. I'm going to read down to verse 22, and then we'll go back. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning, notwithstanding they hearken not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning." And what did it do? It bred worms. Do we have to worry about tomorrow's meal? No. Lord's going to provide it. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and what?
All
the necessary things will be added unto you. So do we have to worry about how we're going to get along? And I'm not telling you to go out and buy a car for each of your kids, and you know, wife's got one, the husband's got one, and you know, overspend and all that type of thing. But God promised to meet our needs. And as believers, he met the needs of the Jews, and he meets the needs of his church, you know, or his called out assembly. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating, in verse 21. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord has said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and see that ye will see it, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. So God's provided enough so that they didn't have to break the Sabbath to gather their food. You know. But what did they do? They were out there on the Sabbath looking for food too. But there wasn't any. Okay. Now let's go back. For the Jew, what was his problem? The Jew was to live his life by faith. You know, because therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in God's sight. Did the Jews put themselves under law? Yeah. God, you know, the reason he gave them the manna was to show them that you won't keep the law. Because they violated just the simple rules, gather enough. 6 days, on the sixth day there will be enough for the seventh day, but don't go looking for manna on the seventh day. What did they do? They went out looking for it. And those, you know, gathered so much, some gathered more, but he that didn't gather as much had as much, you know, for to feed his family as those that, you know, were just raking this stuff in like crazy, as if it wouldn't be there. As God promised. Well, that's the way that we, now we're dealing with Jews in the book of Hebrews that have made a profession of faith. And the custom of the Jews are so entrenched in them that, we had a young man, he was young then, he's old now, but you know, he was half Jewish, and I wrote five books, and he was raising one of them up the stairs. And I went up there, and every time I used the word Jesus, he wrote Yeshua. Yeah. And, or, you know, and I said, "What are you doing?" And he says, you know, he was changing the English words to Hebrew words. Oh, Yeshua, that's actually Greek. Anyway, Joshua. Anyway, the point is, there is no language in the world, not one is holier than the other. New Testament written in Greek, because that was the language of the more people. And the Old Testament given to the Jews, it was written in their language. But we read it in what? We read it in English. You know? So why should I use words transliterated from a language that I don't speak to speak of my God in words that I do speak? It makes no sense. But what we're trying to learn here is our relationship with the Lord as believers in Jesus Christ. And our relationship is this. If we would recognize that God says when Christ died, you died. So because you died with Christ, the life that you're living is hid. No, because you're dead. The only life that you can will be remembered is that which you do by faith, because the just are to live by faith, and the law is not of faith. And a violation of the law is sin, but the promise to us is their sins and iniquities, I will remember against them when?
No more.
So everything that we've done, past, present, and future, the only thing that's going to be remembered is what we do by faith. So where should we put the emphasis? We should put the emphasis upon what we do by faith. Now, let's see. I was in Hebrews. Let's go back there again now. And I'll start at verse 7 again. Wherefore, as the Holy Spirit saith today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. In other words, what's that mean? Listen to what the Spirit of God has to say. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The scripture says, grow in grace, and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is growing in grace trying to discipline yourself so that you never say bad words, so that you never drink too much wine, or drink, you know, whatever you drink, whatever you eat. You can eat too much. You know, there are good foods, there are bad foods. There's no prohibition in scripture against drinking hard drinks. In fact, in the Psalms it says, give wine unto those who are of a heavy heart. But why? Because a little bit of wine will lighten their spirits, cheer them up a little bit. And strong drink unto those who are ready to perish. You have a terminal disease, and with that terminal disease, you have pain. And with that pain, you know, if you strong drink will anesthetize you to make it more tolerable. Now, in the day in which we live, we've got all kinds of drugs that they give you, and morphine and stuff like that, for the final days before you die. But it's still applicable. You know, God is the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. So here in Hebrews chapter 3 now, wherefore as the Holy Spirit, in verse 7, saith, today if you will hear his voice. Well, the natural man can't hear it. So he's speaking to believers here. Now, today, listen to his voice today. Now, the only voice that the unsaved man can hear is when the gospel is preached and God quickens it or makes enough of the gospel believable to him so that he believes on the Lord Jesus Christ and is saved. Then he's told, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Do you have to attend a church? To attend church? No. No. There's no law that says you have to attend church. But if you want to grow, you know, where you're going to hear the Word of God proclaimed, not by somebody that doesn't know what they're talking about. There's a lot of that that goes on. But the man of God is studied to show himself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Let me prove that very easily. What do 99 and 44, 100% of the religions of the world say your eternal condition is based upon? They all say they're based upon the life that you live. Is it true? No. Now, how about Christians? You know, are we to do good works? Sure. We have the Spirit of God indwelling us. We use the gifts of the Spirit and trust the Lord. And you know, we live so that the gospel will go forth. Does that make us better than anybody else? No. But what we do by faith, we're going to be rewarded for it at the judgment seat of Christ. Because whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And the new covenant is, their sins and iniquities will I remember against them when? No more. So if you compel somebody to do something, which is the right thing to do, but they're not doing it by faith, they're doing it because they're compelled to do it, then what are you doing? You're robbing them of their reward. In other words, whatever we do willingly and not of necessity, as the Lord lays it upon our heart. So, makes it much easier, okay? So he goes on to say, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. What was the provocation? Well, God said, here, I'll give you 10 commandments. There are going to be many more than that, but I'll give you 10. And they heard them, and then they had the choice what to do with them. And as one man, they said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Did they think about the manna? They didn't do what God said with respect to the manna. Did they think about the quail? They didn't do what God told them to do with the quail. Did they, you know, even before they left Egypt, when God was judging the 10 false gods of Egypt, and with every judgment, then, you know, Pharaoh would react and lay a greater burden on the Jews. And pretty soon they're telling Moses, just keep your mouth shut. It was much better before. Okay. So, did they have a very good record when it came to doing what God said? No. Pretty poor record. Okay? So, when your fathers tempted me or tested me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years, I fed them, manna every morning except on the Sabbath and gave them enough for 2 days. And I sent quail every evening for 40 years. You never lacked a meal. Okay. But, so when your fathers tempted me, that's when your fathers tested me, tried me, you know, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they've not known my way. What's God's way? The just shall live by faith. We're called upon to believe God. Now the Jews, they said all that the Lord has spoken, we will do, but they couldn't. And God gave them the tabernacle and the sacrificial system. And even with respect to the sacrificial system, which was to make a covering or an atonement for their failures, they didn't do that right either. You read over the book of Malachi, and they were offering sick lambs. You know. And he says, would you invite your governor to dine with you and present that as a sick lamb for a meal? Absolutely, you wouldn't do that. Okay? what you want to offer that unto God. So they were just trying to save a buck. All right. I'm going to read a couple more verses. I guess we must start it early because it says I got 7 minutes yet. Okay. Anyway, he says, when your fathers tempted me in verse 9, proved me and saw my works 40 years. God never failed ever to do what he promised he would do. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart and they've not known my way. In other words, when I say that I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. That's what God said to the nation of Israel. That's what he's saying to us as well. Because how are the faith, or how are those of us that are saved, how are we to live? The just shall live how?
By faith.
Faith comes from what? Hearing. Hearing what? The word of God. So we're to live our lives based upon what God has said. Now you have to put it in context, because God said a lot of things, but he didn't say them all to believers in the church age. I can go in the Old Testament and make a case for you having to keep the law and having to do this and having to do that and all that type of thing, if I don't consider who the audience is and what was the covenant relationship. So that's part of what the scripture called rightly dividing the word of God. We can draw applications from lessons with the Jews or those that lived before the law. We can draw applications. But when it comes right down to it, they had no ability to keep the law. We have no ability to keep the law. They were condemned by the law. We're condemned by the law. The difference is, they were looking forward to a Savior who had not yet come. And he was being portrayed to them in the sacrificial system. And we look to a Savior who has come. And if you listen to the world, he was hanged on that cross for 6 hours. And he said, no man takes my life from me. I have the power to lay it down. And I have the power to take it up again. People don't think about dying with just 6 hours on the cross. That's an unusual thing. Normal death time after being hanged on a cross is between 24 and 36 hours. It's just till the body finally has no strength left in it at all and you die of exhaustion. It's very cruel. Very cruel death. And before they did that, they beat him. If you read back in the 54th chapter of Isaiah, Jesus was beaten beyond human recognition. You go into Roman church and you see a picture of Jesus, his head bowed just a little bit with a few thorns up there, a little trickle of blood. No, you wouldn't have been, if he was your own son, you wouldn't have been able to recognize him as your son. He was beaten that badly. That was just part of what the Romans did. I'm going to read a couple more verses and we'll stop. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. So, what are we told? He's speaking to Jews who were under the law but now are in a grace faith situation. But he says, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief. We can offer just as much unbelief in this church age. For example, most of the churches, we've got a whole denomination of the Pentecostal movement. They don't know whether they're saved or lost. It just depends. If I do something bad, I got to get saved again. And I got to get saved again. And I got to get saved again. Well, if you can't get saved on your own, it takes, the Spirit of God and the Word of God. You mean to tell me an omniscient God is going to operate that way? Absolutely not. It's contrary to who he is. And so, exhort one another daily while it's called today. Any problems ought to be settled the same day they come about. You know? And they say, do it while it's called today. What's the problem? Why doesn't it happen today? Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness, it says, of sin. Well, indeed, sin is deceitful. But if we could read this in the Greek, we would see that harmartia here is preceded by the definite article. The definite article is singular. So we're not talking about sin in general. We're talking about a specific sin, the sin. We can read it 30 times between Romans chapter 5 and verse 12 and Romans chapter 8 and verse 3. Paul used it 30 times there. He only used it 3 other times in all of the other books that he wrote. You know, what's he talking about? They sin. What was they sin? Not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. What was the temptation? The serpent said, God knows, Elohim knows, that in the day that you eat of, this will make you like God. Now, look at all of the religions or all the denominations under the canopy of Christianity and all the religions of the world. And when it comes right down to it, there are very few that operate on a grace-faith relationship. They're all trying to do something to please God by their lives. But why? Your life, you're dead. The only thing that God can remember that you do in this life, you know. And I've been a believer for 69 years as of last month. You know. So 69 years as a believer. The only thing that counts is what I did by faith. And faith comes from where? By hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. Operate according to what God says, not according to what man thinks. You know. And the translators translated a few of these throughout the New Testament. And there's one spot in the 12th chapter of Hebrews where Schofield actually puts a note there and says, remove the law. Yeah, it's true that the Greeks use the definite article far more than we do. But it still has the same meaning. When I speak of sin, that could be anything. But when I speak of the sin, that's the sin of Eve, who passed it on to Adam, and he ate also of it, who passed it on to the whole human family. And so we all think according to what?
A way that seemeth right.
A way, which is what? Man's morality. Okay. Man is trying to get back into the paradise of God by the very thing that put him out of the paradise of God. We please God by believing him. You know, is good behavior better than bad behavior? Yes, it is. But the just are live by faith, and law is what?
Not
of faith. I may be in this chapter for another 6 years. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the truth of the Word of God. And we realize that, just because we've studied foreign languages, Hebrew, Greek, and the scriptures were written in those languages, it doesn't mean that we pay any more attention to the fact of certain facts, whether we're reading it in our native language or whether we're reading it in the original language. Unless we live or unless we read, allowing the Spirit of God to make us think and think according to the truth of the Word of God, then we will not see any significance in the definite article. But when we see it, then we realize it covers all of the religions of the world. What man is trying to do to get back into the presence of God by the life that he lives. That's the sin. And that's what put us out of the presence of God. God in Jesus Christ paid for that, as well as everything else that came from that evil tree. And we just pray that you'll bless these truths to our hearts and help us realize, a good life's better than a bad life. But we're justified by faith, not by works of righteousness, which we've done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.